Bibles with me this morning to Joshua chapter number 4. Joshua chapter number 4 this morning. Would to God would wake up every day and that be our prayer. Amen. Lord, help my life to count for you. We are building kingdoms. We can build our own or we can work in God's. Amen. We know which one's going to last. Amen. Joshua chapter number 4 today. Joshua chapter number 4. How many of you this morning would be honest before God and say you tend to be a tad forgetful? Forgetful. Some of us don't forget anything. Some of us forget the things we should remember and remember the things we should forget. But we are forgetful people. Joshua chapter number 4. Verse number 1, and it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of man. This was so that each family would be represented. What the Lord was saying to Joshua was this: whatever is about to happen, I want to make sure every family is involved in this. I want to make sure that this goes throughout the whole nation. If we were to put it in our vernacular today and just put it in our context this morning, what the Lord would be telling Joshua and what Joshua would be telling us is this: every member of the church needs to do this. Amen? Anybody who's passed over Jordan needs to do this. The Bible, I think, teaches very clearly that passing over Jordan is not going to heaven. There was battles in the Canaan land. There will be no battles in heaven, at least not for us. And there is going to be one more battle in heaven. Satan's going to try one more time. That's not going to work. But as far as the Christian, we're not going to get up to heaven and have to do anything. Because you don't get to heaven by doing anything in the first place. Amen. Going into the Canaan land and passing over the Jordan was the people who had come out of Egypt. That generation of unbelief had died in the wilderness. But there was a generation that God preserved, that God helped, that raised up, and they went over into Jordan. They were now entering into God's blessing. It's a portrait of a people, of a person who has been saved by God's grace and who has not only been pulled out of Egypt, but has also left the wilderness behind and that self-willed life and all of that, and now has moved over into the victorious Christian life. It's a portrait of a person moving into the blessing of God. Amen. I'm not a prosperity preacher. You think you know that this morning. I'm not going to say that every decision you make is going to add cash to your bank account and going to make sure that you're insured with good health and good looks and all those different things. That's not what I'm going to preach this morning. But what I do want to say this is that when God works in a person's life, they are now under the good favor and the blessing of the Lord. If you will submit to the Lord and be obedient to God, then there are blessings that come with that. Those blessings are sometimes financial. That's good. They're sometimes financial, but generally they're much more than that. They're spiritual blessings. They're things that money cannot buy. Amen. And God has that for every believer. It's an inheritance. This land that these people were walking into was not something they had to go and pre-conquer. This was not a land that they had decided they were going to come up with. This was an inheritance given to Abraham. And that now they had to enter back in, and that God was saying, listen, there are some things you're going to have to do. There are some battles you're going to fight, but the bottom line is you have passed over into Jordan. You are now walking in the Christian life. Somebody say amen. He says, when you come into this place, when you come into the place that has lands that you didn't purchase and houses you didn't build and fields that you didn't plant, reminding them that it's always been God's graciousness and His favor that have sustained us. Would you say amen right there? When you get in there, I need to make sure that when you cross over this river, you need to do something. He says, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of man. And commanding them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then shall ye answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. These stones, these rather large stones that were to be picked up out of this riverbed because the waters parted and they walked across again on dry ground, not the first time in that history of that nation, but they walked across on dry ground. They were to pick up these stones and they were to go set them across wherever they camped that night and lay these stones down as a memorial, as a statue, as we would see around places of in our nation. We have them all over the place where there, anytime anybody walked past these and anytime the kids walked past them and they would see this unnatural formation of rocks, they could tell that it would have been put there by men in order and different things like that, that they would say to their fathers, what are these doing here? And the father could say to them, this was what God did in our life. This is what God did for us. This is how God delivered us and brought us in to the land of Jordan. He wanted to make sure that an event like that and the God, more importantly, who did that would never be forgotten. Now, if you will read over into Judges, we won't go there today. Unfortunately, they disregarded the memorial. The people got forgetful. They forgot their God. As we're sitting here this morning and you and I are thinking about the Word of God and God who created the universe, we would think, well, I would never forget that He existed. That wasn't the issue. It wasn't the issue that He existed. The issue is what He had done and the impact it should have on their daily lives. Amen? Meaning this, that what God had done for them, every time they were to walk past that, they should be reminded of the God they serve, the power of the God they serve, and what God had done in their life, and it should have changed and should have had an effect on the way they live their daily lives. Amen? In Fast forward a few thousand years, and you, when Jesus is with his disciples, and he sits down with their and that Last Supper, and he's getting ready to for the crucifixion, and he's having his last time, and he's speaking with his disciples in that sweet time. He says to them about this table, he says to them, "This do ye in remembrance of me." Now, how could disciples who had seen him heal, raise dead, give sight to blind, give sound to deaf, remove leprosy, how could they ever forget being in the presence of the Son of God? That wasn't the issue. Jesus was saying, obviously you're never going to forget that I existed, but you might just need to be reminded from time to time of what my presence means in your life. Amen. Fast forward to Paul, and we'll see a little bit later today in Corinthians. He comes to the Corinthian believers, and he says the exact same thing to them. And the Lord told him to say, he said, "I received this from God, that you need to observe this table then in remembrance of me." And we call this the Lord's table and the Lord's supper, and that is perfectly fine and okay, but it might simply also need to be called the table of the believer's remembrance. Amen? Amen? Maybe that's what it should be about. And I understand as we're going to remember the Lord Jesus, but it is to serve this table, this fruit, and this juice, and this bread this morning that we're about to eat. It is a reminder for us that Jesus has done something, brought us somewhere, and that should still have an effect in our life on a day-to-day basis. John tells the church of Ephesus in Revelation chapter number 3, he says to them, "You guys are really active and things are really good, and as far as that activity is all concerned," he goes, "but I need you to do something. I need you to remember from whence thou art fallen." Peter told in his epistles, "I need to stir you up by putting you in way of remembrance." There is a power, a spiritual blessing that comes to the believer from remembering. Amen. Amen? From remembering. Remember. Call to remembrance. Now, with that in mind, would you turn with me, please, this morning to Titus chapter number 3. Titus chapter number 3. Might be easier to go to the end of the Bible, Revelation. Work your way back just a little bit. Titus chapter number 3. If you were to look up the word remember, remembrance, those different things, you would find it out throughout the Bible. You would find where God says, "Lest they forget me." Don't forget God. He said, you need to remember that it's God that gives you the power to get wealth. He told that in Deuteronomy. He said, listen, when y'all come into that land, you need to remember that it's me who gives you the ability to accomplish things. Lest forgetting that, the Bible says, and Moses said to them, that you be filled with pride, you begin self-willed, and begin to think, "I did this." See, what remembering the Lord Jesus and what he did for us on the cross and what he did for us through salvation, it's going to take, as we remember what he's done for us, it takes the focus off of us, quite frankly, puts our minds back in a place where we are subservient, submissive, and dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you this morning, we need a revival of remembrance. We need to remember every single day what it is when we wake up, how good God is, how far God has brought us from, what he's brought us to and where he's taken us to, and what he's doing in our life on a day-to-day basis. We need to do some remembering this morning. In Titus chapter 3 today, I want to look at three things from Titus chapter number 3 this morning that we should bring to remembrance. If you'll go with me to Titus 3 verse number 8. This is Paul writing to a young preacher. And he has written the book of Titus to this preacher. He's talked to them, this preacher, about how to make sure that the congregation, he says, look, you need to teach them these things and give them these things. And he says, and speak the things which become sound doctrine in chapter 2, verse number 1, and then how you live out that doctrine. But in Titus chapter number 3, as he's closing his letter to this pastor, he says to him in verse number 8, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm," what's the next word? "Constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men." Paul said to Titus, "Titus, I want you to remind constantly these people, your dear brothers and sisters, I want you to affirm constantly those that have believed in God. I want you to remind them so that they might be careful to maintain good works." meaning this, the correlation is this. If you get forgetful, you become unfruitful. If you get forgetful, you become unfruitful. That's the principle for the message today. Now, I'm not ending the sermon there, but if you get anything from the message today, it's this. Forgetful people are unfruitful people. Amen? We forget that we're here not to build our own kingdom, but to build the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. We forget that our lives aren't to count for us, but to count for Jesus. Can I tell you this morning, if you live for Jesus, the whole world may never take your account a life of anything. It'll say you never accomplished diddly squat. But if you live for Jesus, you actually accomplish something. Somebody say amen. And so we are to remember this morning that forgetful people are unfruitful people and that we need to remember some things from time to time. Heavenly Father, we come now this morning in this time. Would you please speak to us, Lord, through your word? Lord, very simply, what we're asking, what I'm asking, Lord, what you desire for us is that we'd be reminded this morning of the Lord Jesus. Reminded of the Lord Jesus as we come to the table today, that we would do it in remembrance of him, Lord, that the believers would be, in a very real sense, Lord, we would be caught up in a spirit of remembrance. And Lord, that that remembrance would change the way we live. Thank you, in Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to give you very simple things, very outlines. It's just right here found in Titus chapter 3. I will try to turn to a few passages, but not too many this morning. I want you to notice, first of all, we need to be reminded. And the Lord Jesus said, and Paul said, when we do this in remembrance of him, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Amen. It means this, as we come to the table this morning, we are saying this is what the Lord Jesus did. This Jesus died on the cross. His body was put on a cross. His blood was shed on a cross for us. And we were reminded of the cross this morning. Somebody say amen. So I want you to look at some things with me today. First of all, I want you to be reminded this morning of the sinfulness that deserves the cross. Chapter 3. Verse number 3. Well, we'll just start in verse 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Paul writes to Titus to tell believers something. He says, as they go out to do their good works, as you go out to live your life for the Lord, you need to be reminded of something. You need to be reminded of the sin that deserved the cross. We are never to wallow in our sin, but we are never to forget about it either. Did you know that? We are never forget about the fact that we are sinners. I'm a sinner. If you go into a self-help place, you might not want to say that. Hello, I'm good enough, I'm smart enough. But if you come into a place that's going to give you some real help, we're going to say, hey, first of all, hi, my name is Kyle, and I'm a sinner. Right. Amen? I'm a sinner. Now, I feel comfortable saying that because I'm sitting amongst sinners this morning. Amen? And you say, I don't feel comfortable in church. Some people say, not too long ago, somebody said, I don't feel comfortable in church because of all my life. And I said, well, you might be one of the finer people we have just by coming in if you knew who you were sitting next to. Somebody say, amen. But see, right now, some of y'all have already forgotten that you were a sinner. Some of you have already forgotten that you needed salvation. Some of you have already forgotten. You've been saved for so long. You've been saved for so long that you don't really think you need God anymore. You didn't need that much help. But you need to be reminded here that you and I are sinners, and it's a good thing for us to be reminded this morning that we're sinners. I carry a danger around with me every single day. I carry a danger with me every single day that can destroy my home, can destroy my wife, can destroy my kids, can destroy this church, can destroy anybody. I carry something with me every single day that has extreme danger in it, and it's called my flesh. My flesh. I am saved, but you ready for this? I'm 2/3 saved. What are you talking about, preacher? Because I still got one more thing. Yes, I've been regenerated. Yes, I've been saved. My mind's been renewed. My soul's been saved. Praise God. But I got a little bit of something called a body that's not going to enter into eternity, and that still I have to be delivered from that. Amen? I have sin problems. I'm sorry to stand before you this week as your pastor. I have to tell you this. Nothing disqualifying or get me fired, Lord willing. But I got to tell you, I sinned this week. I got sin problems. I sinned this week. I sinned this week. I sinned. I sinned against my God. I sinned. I snapped at my wife this week. First time in 15 years, but I snapped. Just short. Nothing mean. Didn't say any bad words. I'm smarter than that. But I sinned against her. I sinned against my children this week. I was a little impatient in an area of discipline that I should not have been. I sinned. You know what? It's okay. It's all right this morning for you to be reminded of the fact that you got sin in your life and your sin is ever with you. You're carried around. The flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other so that you cannot do the things that you would. That's Galatians 5 and 17. That verse blows my mind because the Bible says my flesh fights against the Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit of God. That's not the spirit of man. That's the Spirit of God. And it says that my flesh is so powerful that it is contrary to what the Spirit of God is doing in such a place, in such a way, so powerful it hinders what I'm trying to do on a daily basis. Think about it. That's how powerful your flesh is this morning. Do not disregard the power of your flesh. And that power of your flesh is bent on one thing, sin. That's the only way your flesh gets satisfied. Your flesh is not satisfied in righteousness. Your flesh is not satisfied in self-denial. Your flesh is not satisfied in serving others. Your flesh is satisfied through sin. Paul said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, because his mind had been transformed, but how to perform that which is good I find not. See, when we are reminded of our sinfulness, we will continue to run to the cross every single day. Amen. You know you need to do that every day? You just need to be reminded every single day that you need the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ to help make you through. I'm not talking about a physical symbol of it. One of our kids that ride in on our transportation ministry asked me, so why don't y'all have a cross with the with Jesus on it? I said, because he got off of it. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And I understand this, that it's not the cross itself that saves the believer. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. But we need to be reminded that Jesus died on a cross for our sins. See, that cross reminds me of something. That cross reminds me of sin. That was a sinner's cross. The sinless one died on a sinner's cross. That was my sin. I deserved that cross. I know this morning, and I want to let me give you some encouragement here. Whatever Satan has done to you, don't let him hold that over on you. Amen. That's been forgiven. That's been cleared out. You've been justified by the grace of God. Somebody say amen right there. So this is not what I'm talking about. Well, I used to be this and I used to be that. Look at all what God, look what Satan did to me. That's not what I'm talking about this morning. I'm simply telling you this morning, you need to be reminded that in your flesh dwelleth no good thing. You have sinful flesh. I've been saved for 50 years, preacher. Still there. That's what new believers struggle with this. They get saved, and then life isn't perfect. And they can't figure out why. How come I'm not making every good decision a great decision? How come I still have some inclinations? I've got this struggle now. Well, the truth of the matter is the struggle is the proof of salvation. Before salvation, there was no struggle. You were all precluded into sin. Somebody say amen right there. You had some precluded to that. But now that you got this struggle, new believers are wondering, how come these things still pop up in my mind? It's because you're still robed in flesh, and that flesh literally has a mind of its own, Paul says. You know, I'm not trying to make a joke out of this, but the truth of the matter is we're split personality people. I've got the mind. I've got the mind of Christ. If I can have it, if I have it, somebody say amen. The Bible says you have the mind of Christ. I've got that. I've got the Spirit of God. But then my flesh has a mind of its own. And every time Paul said in Romans 7, when I try to do good, there is something present with me. Why? He says my flesh dwelleth no good thing. You know, when you're reminded of your sin, this is a neat. Doesn't make sense, but it's the truth. When you're reminded of your sin, you love God more. In Luke chapter 7, for sake of time, we won't go there. One of my favorite, I just love that story. This Pharisee brings Jesus into his house. Not to really love him. In fact, he didn't even serve him like he was supposed to. He brought him in to question him. It was probably going to be one of those things, hey, look at the personality I had in my house. Maybe a little bit of conflict. It was really nothing that big of a deal. But a very sinful woman heard that Jesus was in this Pharisee's house. So she shows up at this Pharisee's house and she gets down and she cries and she gets up on his feet. She dries his feet as she washes his feet. She dries it with her own hair. The Pharisee sitting over there not saying it audibly, but God heard it. Because how many of you know God hears what you say even if you don't say it out loud? The Pharisee was saying to basically, if he knew who was touching his feet, basically he'd be ashamed. And the Lord Jesus gave a parable of debts being paid, but he says this in Luke 7:47. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Here's what Jesus said. You know why she loves me so much? Because she knows her sin debt. And Jesus told her, your sins are forgiven you. So here's the truth of the matter. When you forget what God has done for you, you no longer need Him. You no longer love Him. You know, that's what happens sometimes in relationships. You have forgotten the joy of that wedding day when your spouse said, I do. You have forgotten what it was like before you got married, when every breath that you took and every free time you had and every extra penny you had went to that relationship. Somebody give me an amen right there. I mean, you'd stay up late and get up early, do whatever you had to do, break seminary Bible college rules just to talk to your sweetie on a cell phone. I mean, you do all those kinds of things. I've just heard people do it. I'm just doing all those kinds of things. Why? Because you loved them so much. You just wanted to express that love because of what they've done in your life. And Jesus said, she loves me so much because she had a great big sin debt. And what he was saying to the Pharisees, you don't think you're that bad, therefore you don't love me that much. I'm telling you, this morning, as I was sitting there writing my notes and typing some things out, I was sitting there at my desk this morning, just tears coming down my face, just reminding myself of how much God loved me and what God had done for me. Somebody say amen. You say, how far did you have to go back to be reminded of your sin? Not too far, quite frankly. Amen. I'm just telling you this morning, we need to be reminded of our sinfulness that deserved the cross. And we'll love the Lord Jesus for going to that cross for us if we're reminded of it. You'll love sinners more. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Let me just read this to you quickly. You might turn there, but here's what Paul says. I need to be reminded. I just need a good old-fashioned reminder today that even though I'm a preacher, I can still really make a big mistake. I'm not insulated from sin any more than you are. I don't have a special bubble that I got at Bible college when I graduated that they gave me and said this baton is like a lightsaber that will keep you from sin. I still have all of these inclinations that I had before I got saved. They're still in my flesh. Amen. They're still there. The inclinations are there. The DNA is there. The wiring is there to really blow things up. And I need to be reminded of that, even in a beautiful place as we're sitting here right now. 1 Timothy 1. We know the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he hath counted me, this is Paul speaking, counted me faithful, put me into the ministry. Who was before? Here he goes down memory lane again. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious? But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord Jesus, of our Lord, was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul never, you know what made him, there's a lot of secrets to Paul's life, but one of the big blessings and one of the secrets to Paul's ministry, one of his motivations was this: he never forgot where God brought him from. He never forgot. He says, I am the chiefest of sinners. He said, look at what I've done. You know, that's why God's people, quite frankly, the closer you get to God, the less self-righteous you ought to be getting. Amen. Amen. You know what destroys our testimony as believers is self-righteousness. Yeah, pompous, arrogant, acting like we got it all figured out and never did anything wrong. No. That's what you used to be. Amen. Now, I want you to notice what Paul says after this. This is a faithful saying. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Paul said this: God saved me, and he said, I remember what I was, but it's so that I can tell other people about what God can do with them. Amen. Do you know why some of us don't care about lost people? Because we forgot how lost we were. We have forgotten what it was like before Jesus stepped into our life and changed everything. We have forgotten how bad it was. We've gotten like the children of Israel out in the wilderness who thinks it's actually halfway decent back in Egypt. Give us over there. But listen, we need to get out of that. I need to be reminded, you need to be reminded, that before Jesus it was all bad, no good, no good thing came out of it. Even my righteousness was a filthy rag. So it was my sin. I need to be reminded of the sinfulness that deserved the cross. Are you back with me now? Back to Titus, please. And the next time somebody, you look at somebody and they do something gross and nasty, before you call them those people,
come on.
Look at them people. You need to be reminded that you are them people.
Yeah.
Apart from the grace of God.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Can you believe what those people did? Yeah, because you used to do it. You should remember that. Remember what Paul said? You go back and look at what Paul said back there, what the law was for. We look at all those things and people doing all that stuff, and we think, God, get them. God, zap them. But Paul said the law helps them come to the grace of God.
That's right.
And Paul said, that's been shown to me so I can show others God's grace.
Amen.
Can you just remember how sorry you were before Jesus? I'm sorry to encourage you this morning this way, but can you just remember how sorry things were before Jesus showed up? He said, well, what would you even know about that? You got saved when you were a child. Oh, I had plenty. I don't know why God saved me when he did. I don't know why I was so young when I was, but I do remember recognizing this, that I was a sinner on my way to hell, and there was nothing good and lovable about me, but God loved me anyway, amen. Don't you want to tell somebody that? Wouldn't it be good for your neighbors to hear that? That God saves sinners? They got a problem. Hey, can I tell you this? Let me just pause here. I may not get as far as we want to get to today. Everybody in the world knows they got a problem with sin. There's not a person in this world that thinks they are sinless. Now, they might say it's not sin. They might call it a fault, a personality flaw, an issue, whatever they want to call it. But they know that in them there is no good thing. But here's the thing. They don't know how to fix it. Truthfully. But God does.
Yes, sir.
And so when somebody's dealing with something nasty, I can sit there and look at them and say, not, I'd never do that, but I used to do that.
Amen. Amen, brother.
I used to be that.
Yes, sir.
You don't have to be that way no more. God's got something for you.
Amen.
Amen. I'm telling you, by remembering, we become fruitful. We become fruitful. We become fruitful. When we're reminded of our sin, we love God more. When we're reminded of our sin, we love sinners more. Back to Titus chapter number 3. When we get to remembering the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, we were reminded of the love that motivated God to send his son to the cross. Verse number 4. Would you read the first 3 words? Ready? Begin. But after that. It's one of my favorite phrases in all the Bible. But after that. But after that, the kindness and love of our God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Let me pause right there. But after that. After offending a holy God with all of our foolishness. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Either were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. But after that, God came.
Come on.
After offending a holy God with our disobedience to his holy law, God came. After offending a holy God with our self-inflicted deception and our divers lust and our pleasures and by living in malice and envy. And after offending a holy God with our hatefulness and our hating of one another. After all of that, God said, I'll still save you.
Amen.
It was after that. It was after all of that. After all we've done, that God said, here's a people I'm still willing to save. That was love that sent Jesus to the cross.
Amen.
What should have come after that was judgment, not love. What should have come after all of that was anger. What should have come after all of that was divine wrath. But God said no. Instead of sending wrath, instead of sending judgment, instead of sending anger, instead of sending condemnation, I'm going to send love and I'm going to send it. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to die on a cross for those people. We need to be reminded this morning that it was love that sent Jesus to the cross today. It wasn't our righteousness that motivated God. Titus 3:5, would you look with me there? But not by works of righteousness which we have done. See, God did not send Jesus because we needed a little bit of saving and we were doing a little bit of good and we merited what he did for us. That is not what we did. God sent us because he loved us without any merit whatsoever. It's not our righteousness that motivated God. It was love. God loves sinners. Would you go with me to Romans chapter number 5? Romans chapter number 5. See, this is a love that this world cannot experience. The love says of this world says this, or express. If you do good by me, I'll send love your way. Hello? If you do something halfway decent for me, I can do something for good for you, and maybe we can love each other like that. But that's not the way God responded to us. God didn't say, well, look at all they've done. They're just struggling down here, a little bit of that. I think I can, you know what? They're doing the best they can. I think I'll go down and send my son Jesus Christ down there on the cross for them because of how good they are. It was love that sent Jesus to the cross for our sinfulness. Amen. Romans chapter number 5, and I can't hardly read this passage without thanking God for it. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Do you understand that? People might die for a decent person. Some people might even die for a halfway decent person. But nobody was going to stand up for Hitler and say, I'll die for him. Nobody will stand up for somebody. In fact, let me ask you, how many of you right now would be willing to send one of your children down on the death row at one of these local prisons around here and say, actually take my child for them? You wouldn't do it because you're sitting there. They did that. They deserve that. But that's what God did for us. I deserve the death sentence. Jesus took it for me. Why? Why would he do it? Because he loved you. That's it.
Glory, brother.
He loved you. That's it. You didn't do anything to deserve it. In fact, you did everything not to deserve it. I need to be reminded today. Look up here, young man. I need to be reminded today as I look at this, as we come to this table, I need to be reminded that I'm sitting right here, standing right here, only by the love of God. Amen. It's God's love, and God loves old sinners. Somebody say amen. You need to be reminded of that. I know there's a lot of nastiness going on in this world. I don't like it. It's disgusting to me. Amen. Yeah, I'll amen on that one right there. There's a lot of nastiness out there. That nastiness is done by people. You know, somebody I watched somebody the other day that said, we often talk about the animal world, but the animal world don't treat people like the human world treats humans. But I'm going to tell you something. Every gross and nasty person out there that you want to call nasty, them people, God loves them. They are image bearers. No matter how marred and scarred their lives are, they are image bearers of God. Somebody say amen right there. Don't we? God help us ever become a church that starts acting like God don't love people. When Jesus' disciples, I reference this all the time, they got a little upset because they didn't receive Jesus like as was coming through, I think it was through Samaria. They said, can we burn them? And Jesus said, you know, no, spirit you are. I'll come not to condemn the world, but to save the world. Amen. Amen. And I just want to remind you this morning, as you take this cup and as you drink, eat this bread, that it was love that sent Jesus to die on that cross for you.
Amen.
Love.
Thank you, brother.
Love. Love did that.
Praise God.
It wasn't a response to you. It was God's choice to love us, to send his son for us. Would you say amen?
Amen.
Titus chapter 3. Are we still alive? I'll say this quickly. Do you know there are people out there that don't know God loves sinners? You know why they don't know God loves sinners? Because Christians don't love sinners. Amen. Last night at men's prayer, we said, Lord, Lord, send us, quote unquote, unlovable people into this ministry. There's no unlovable people.
Amen.
Amen. Now, there may be some things about me that are not lovely, but I'm not unlovable. There might be some things about you that are not lovely, but you're not unlovable. Would you say amen right there? God loves sinners. And I need to be reminded, you need to be reminded that we're chief of that. Titus chapter 3, verse number 7. We need to be reminded of the grace that overcame sin at the cross. I love this verse. That being justified by his grace, We should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. There might not be a sweeter word in the Bible than the word justified. Justified means to be declared righteous. I've got flesh that's not righteous, but I've been declared righteous by God's grace. See, when a person comes under to the come to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they receive His forgiveness of sins and the gift that He offers of eternal life, God then puts a little stamp on their file, and that file says this: case closed, justified. He's been declared righteous. It doesn't matter what the evidence says. It doesn't matter all that, because the blood covers all of that. Amen? This is not, God don't look at you and think, is He justified or not justified? He just closes the file on you. You're covered in Christ. You're in Christ Jesus, and therefore you are declared righteous by grace. You've been justified by grace. Amen? That ought to make a Baptist shout this morning. Somebody say amen. John said in John chapter 1, verses 14 through 17, he was talking about the Lord Jesus, and he said, and He's coming, and then I'm paraphrasing here, but he says He's bringing grace for grace. He's bringing grace for grace. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, Romans chapter 5, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Amen. So I got sin in my life. I'm thankful that God loves sinners, for wherever sin does abound, grace does much more abound. Let me say it this way. Wherever you walk, you're going to leave sin footprints. Amen? But God's grace is going to be right there, lockstep with you. Somebody say amen. And if you'll come to the Lord Jesus and run to Jesus, and you always say, Lord Jesus, I mean, if you'll do that, you can walk. Yeah, praise God, you got God's grace. Would you say amen? Grace. Oh, we could take years to explain what that word means. Even when we were dead in sins, God hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Grace. Paul said to Titus, remind them, constantly affirm that they need to be reminded that it's grace that justifies them, that we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We could look at several other things this morning for time. We won't. We could be reminded as we look at the cross that the next time He comes, there will be no cross. There's a lot of things we could look at today, but my dear brothers and sisters, could we just be reminded today as we come to this table, there was sin that deserved a cross? Can we be reminded that it was love that sent Jesus to the cross for our sin? And could we be reminded today that it's grace that overcomes sin at the cross? Amen. You got sin in your life? Marvelous grace of our Lord, loving Lord. Grace that exceeds our sin and our stain.
Praise God.
Were it not for grace, tell you where I'd be.
Come on, brother.
Grace, grace,
yes.
God's grace.
Glory.
See, we just need to be reminded of this so we don't get so highfalutin.
Amen.
Hello? Self-righteous. We act like sin can't approach us, but God allowed us to approach Him through His Son, Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Listen, I'm to be separate and be different from the world and all that. I got all that. But I'm not to be absent from it.
That's right.
I'm not to be pulling my life out of people's lives. And you aren't either. You ought to love sinners. Because God loves you. Amen? Some of y'all can't handle that right now. Because the theology you taught has made you not sanctified but sanctimonious. But this morning we need to get rid of that. Come down to the table. Look at the table. Look at the juice and look at the bread and reminded that Jesus did that for us, and be reminded of the cross this morning. With every head bowed, every eye closed, we'll go to a word of prayer today.
Whatever inside my heart there burned a question. What was I placed on earth here for? It truly was to build a kingdom, not of my